because of the unveiling of our new exhibits, and specifically the Challenge in Choices and Change Making a Home exhibit, which continues telling the story of McLean County's history through the more modern times with the newer community groups that are here now. The newer community groups, specifically our Hispanic Latino groups, South Asian groups, those stories are told in our exhibit, and we want people in our community to see the whole breadth of our story, that it's not just the pioneers that settled in McLean County, the Irish, the Germans, that now it's Congolese, Hispanics, Latinas, Indians, Chinese, Japanese, all these people make up our history. And so having a discussion about how newer groups are not only settling in the area, but maintaining their cultural selves and sharing it with others is really important for us to be able to host a program.
The author is Suje Vega. Maura, tell us a little bit about her, would you?
She's an anthropologist, and she went to graduate school at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. Suje Vega, Professor Vega, is a beautiful writer, someone that weaves through a narrative of belonging in poetic, in, you know, capturing sort of the struggles on the ground, you know, in very interesting ways.
Latino Heartland is a timely ethnographic account, it says here, of a small community in Indiana. Through interviews with Latinos, both new immigrants and longstanding U.S. citizens, as well as African Americans, the book offers an account of racial dynamics at play in Indiana. So how do people who come as a new ethnic strand to the community make themselves a home, particularly in rural Indiana, which, like many rural places, is insular?
Professor Vega describes the day-to-day interactions that Latino immigrants have with African Americans, with whites. But what is beautiful about this book, they encounter themselves at work, they encounter themselves at church, they encounter themselves in the school, in the schools. And so she weaves through this really interesting narrative of how is it that you go about constructing a sense of belonging.
Give us a couple examples of that.
The Virgin of Guadalupe, December 12th, and that's something that is celebrated locally, yep. Right? The book opens up with a celebration for the local Mexican community. December 12th is an important religious holiday. It's the day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, traditionally celebrated with a procession. And she opens the book with a procession of in Lafayette, Indiana, of the events leading to that celebration. And so you see local residents interacting and feeling the sense of connection in the local church. And so that is a way that people sort of construct community. You know, one of the things that fascinates me about the Heartland is that there is this almost mythical sense of the Heartland as this very homogeneous place where everybody gets along, and it's like that cannot be further from the truth in terms of even looking at the work that the McLean County Museum of History is doing in sort of celebrating the diversity of nationalities that existed in the Heartland, you know, at different times, points in history. And so what I find fascinating about this book is that it really takes that stereotype of the Heartland as this sort of homogeneous place and says, you know what? We have always been diverse. And part of what we have to do is learn how to reread that history and unearth some of that history. And I think Suje does that beautifully in a community that is very similar to normal Bloomington.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Candace Summers, the education coordinator for the McLean County Museum of History, and Latino Studies Professor Maura Toro Morn of Illinois State University. Candace, why is now a particularly good time for this particular book?
Throughout history, immigration has always been a hot topic, and from people all over the world, Irish, Jewish people, Muslims, Hispanics. I mean, it's, they're all part of this country. We're all people of this country. And so having this conversation about how different groups like Hispanic Latinos have come to make this their home. They want to make this their home. They're here for so many of the reasons that all immigrants come here is for a better life, opportunities. This is a great way that we can start the conversation, continue the conversation about the diverse groups that make up our community. Because that's one of the great things about this area and many areas is the diverse peoples that make this their home.
It cannot be a through line to acceptance and community in Suja Vega's book, although she does note that it's intentional and a constructed community, that there's thoughtful effort going into these small interactions. How is history our guide for the roadblocks and the potholes that happen on this path?
Boy, that's a very loaded question. I would think we would want to look back through our history and avoid some of the missteps that have been taken against other groups. How we always have this us versus them, where we're a nation of immigrants, and that's what makes this great. And we really want people to understand that history, because you always hear the quotation, if we forget our history, it's bound to repeat itself. We have to remember that history, and that's part of what our mission is, to help us remember that history and educate people about what has happened and why it has happened.
In Bloomington Normal, what were a couple of examples of this othering that goes on between, say, Germans or Irish?
And the Germans is a great example, because of it's the anniversary of the United States entering World War I this year, in 1917. And Germans had a huge impact on our community. They had German Day celebrations for many, many years, and they were a part of what built this community, from the railroad, from the coal mines, from every aspect. And in 1917, because of laws that were passed, being German was bad. You couldn't speak German in public anymore. You couldn't teach it in schools. You couldn't even print the German language newspaper in German, which was the Bloomington Journal. And everybody started turning their backs on Germans, and Germans became ashamed of being German. They changed the name of the German American Bank. And it's just, these are things we need to learn from and not forget that have happened in our history.
Are there echoes, Maura, in what's happening
Latinos? Very much so. I actually want to go back to the question, why now? Because this was almost kind of almost like an accidental, program that we put together. We are witnessing a moment in our history that is, again, using the word that has become kind of cliche these days, that is unprecedented in terms of how we're thinking about immigrants, how we're thinking about ourselves, and how we're thinking about our history. If there was ever a moment in the nation's history that we need to sustain a long look at our history, is now. If there was ever a moment that we need to go back and revisit the internment of Japanese immigrants, revisit the Operation Wetback, revisit all of those tragic moments in our history when we pushed people out, when we excluded, it's this moment. Because we are, what we're facing today, I think, is very difficult to take as someone that is very close to that immigrant experience. To be clear, Puerto Ricans are not immigrants when they immigrate to the United States because of the citizenship status, but we encounter the experience of immigration very similar to other groups. And so I want to clarify that. And so the book actually invites our community to be reflective. The book invites our community to read, to stay with Sujay for a prolonged period of time and to converse with her. And then when we bring her into campus at the end of February, and when she comes to the museum to give a charla, then we can converse. We can begin to see what new resolutions, what new awareness, what new insights are generated through this process.
You just used a word I think I'll ask you to define and to expand on. Charla, what is that?
A charla is a Spanish word for a conversation. It's kind of an informal conversation.
Why is labeling it that instead of a talk or a question and answer session an important part of this event?
Because the pedagogy underlying charla is to invite conversation. A charla is a give and take. A charla is a moment where we sit and we kind of hash it out, right? And so that's why we're asking community members to come and talk to her. She will probably present and give a kind of a short story of how the book came about and all of that. But the rest is open for the community to ask questions, to engage her, and to reflect locally in terms of how similar or different is Norma Bloomington to Lafayette, Indiana.
And I would venture a guess that by having it be a community reading group, you are also emulating and modeling the act of community building by creating a shared experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And having it at the museum, which is the community's museum, I think is a great way to invite everyone. We want all walks of life, people everywhere, to be able to come and have this discussion. And we're working with Bloomington Public Library, Normal Public Library. They have books available for people to check out and read. We have them for sale at the museum. We also have them for sale at Barnes & Noble at ISU and Babbitt's Books in Uptown Normal. We want to make the book as available as possible to really invite this discussion, because it is an important topic that will only become more so as the days go on.
Maura, would you detail a couple more acts of ethnic belonging and ways to meld the Hoosiers and the Latinos in Sujay Vega's experience?
There was a really interesting conversation that happened in the school in that students were encouraged to read about the Native American origins of Indiana. And, you know, she's kind of critical of how is it that the Native American origins and the Native American history of Indiana was being reconstituted in the current curricular sort of efforts, leaving a lot of silences, leaving a lot of issues sort of disconnected. And so I think that if you're an educator and you read what happened in that classroom, it probably will ask you to reflect upon what other pedagogies could have been used as a way to recreate a different interaction, as a way to bring historical sources to bear to deepen the students' understandings.